This afternoon's conference call is now being recorded.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is a translation and transliteration of contact information PDP working group on Thursday, the 4th of September, 2014. On the call today, we have Wanawita Kuptra, Pitanan Kora Morn-Patana, Chris Dillon, Peter Green, Sutter Reinforth, Peter Dernbach, Ubothip Sithikas, and Jim Galvin. Joining us a little later will be Jennifer Chung. We have apologies from Justine Chu, Amr Elstar, and Lindsay Hamilton-Reed. From staff, we have Julie Headland, Natalie Peregrine, Miriam Bakashi, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Chris.
Thank you very much. Now, in fact, I had one more apology. Rudy emailed us just a couple of hours ago, so he can't make it today, not too well at all. I should also just apologize for circulating the documents we'll be looking at today rather late. So the document you see on the screen now is the version 7 that I promised you during our last meeting, but I only circulated it a couple of hours ago, so I realize that it's not enough time either to go through it and certainly not to react to it. But what we can do at least is present especially the newer parts of it, I think. And then, you know, we can have a bit of a think about it and then come back to it next week. Coming back to the agenda, I should just get rid of point three. I need to ask you whether there have been any changes in statements of interest since our last call. And hearing nothing and seeing nothing in the chat room, I think we can move on into the straw man. And as I was just saying a moment ago, I released actually two versions of this 2 hours ago. So one of them is the main version, which we're looking at on the screen. And this is the one we'll be using during this today's meeting, because the other version, it has got the word tracking changes, and it's a bit of a bloodbath because I did make quite a lot of changes to it since we since our last meeting. So it means that we can use the other version if we actually say, well, you know, why did he make this change? We can actually go and find out. You know, that what I've tried to do is when I made changes, I used comments to say this is why I'm making it. And typical reasons would be that it's duplicating something that's already there, or it's irrelevant for one reason or another. But the whole time I've said, you know, I've got rid of it because it's not relevant, or I think it's better if we move it here. And then the more interesting comments are when I've actually changed part of the text. And when I've done that, that's usually been as a result of something that's been said during a recent call, and I've put a comment and said, you know, the reason this is reading differently is because of that. I think what I would like to do is to continue with the approach we've taken in recent meetings, and that is just to start with larger things and then to move down to smaller things. I think that tends to be quite a good way of getting through the comments. And what I would really like to do is show you some of the completely new content. And this is at the end of the document, so I think I have control, so I'm going to try and whirl the whole way down to the bottom. I think you're coming with me, I hope. And we'll see here an appendix chart of recommendations. And what this is, it was actually Mary's suggestion that I list these suggestions and then get some sort of chart over the level of agreement that we think we have at the moment, or rather I think we have at the moment. Now, when everybody, when we collected input from all the stakeholders and we had the review tool, that's some time ago now, I think by looking at that review tool, it was quite clear in some areas whether we had agreement, and also it was clear that there were very different opinions on other matters. Now, it's some time ago, so things may have changed a little. So this was really an attempt that I made it's really just the first stage of working out how much agreement there is. And we can even have a discussion about whether this sort of a chart is actually the best way of doing it. Certainly with the review tool, we looked at it from the point of view of various stakeholders. So I don't know whether perhaps we may have to do that again, or whether something simple like this is adequate. Now, one way or the other, I've only just sprung this document on you 2 hours ago, so it would be completely unreasonable to expect you to say, I think this is right or I think this isn't right. But what I can at least do is present it to you, and I will welcome comments as we go through it. After that, I'm going to deal with another piece of new content, which is there's an example. So I actually wrote an example of what the data would look like if the recommendations were implemented. It's a simplified example, but that might be interesting to look at. I thought we would do the chart first rather than the example, because it's conceivable that the chart will affect the example, so that makes more sense. After that, I'm intending to hit the changes that I've made to the document as a result of comments during recent calls, but I'm just really explaining the sort of methodology I'm just about to use. Okay, so feel free to ask questions at any point. I'm intending to set off, and I'm going to deal with recommendation one here. And this is the working group recommends that it is not desirable to make transformation of contact information mandatory. Now, we've certainly covered this. Anybody who's been on the call would agree with that. And I think since the recommendation was made in the straw man that it would not be mandatory, I think basically, as I have perceived it, I have felt that there has been agreement. So that's why I'm putting Y in the agree column there. However, going back further, and really now I'm talking about the review tool, which admittedly is some time ago now. At that stage, I think it's fair to say that there is some disagreement. So although I've I don't know whether this is a contradiction, although what I'm hoping this means is that although there's basic agreement, or recently there's been agreement, historically at least, and probably continuing, there is some disagreement, and we are certainly still discussing it. So that's the logic behind, also explaining actually how the system works. Now, Petter, would you like to raise something about this?
Yeah, thanks. Petter Import here. Just to note that when we, from IPC, filed some initial comments, and we haven't fully discussed everything yet, but I'd say that we disagree with this. I think it should be mandatory.
Right.
So I guess we're one of the your small point there. disagreement.
That is interesting. And in fact, I think, the question is where the frontier between agreed with some disagreement and actually not agreed at. So that's something we need to think about. Thank you for that. And Peter, would you like to say something about that? Now, we may have technical trouble. I can't hear.
Yes.
Oh,
Chris?
Sorry, yes, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me, Chris?
Yes, I can, yes.
Yes, I was just saying that I was actually surprised when I saw the draft Stallman come out after London,
mm-hmm.
because in the discussion in person in London,
mm-hmm.
My impression was that there were some people who thought it was clearly desirable, some who thought it was clearly not desirable, and I thought I heard you say that it was, at this point, we did not have a categorical yes or no. So I was surprised to see the straw man come out with a clear statement that it's not desirable. And it seems that some of the reasons articulated for why it's not desirable relate to the practicality of it or the cost, which I think are all relevant points. But I thought based on the community input that we had received before from some working group members and others in the community, it seemed that the input we had received was quite mixed. In my recollection, about half of the people suggested that it was desirable, and about half of the people suggested it was not desirable. So I just think that on this, it has definitely been discussed, but I'm interested to hear more about your determination that it was agreed.
Okay, thank you for that. I think my perception has been certainly at the stage of the review tool, it was definitely mixed input, and depending on the stakeholder, it was different. There's really no doubt about that. Since the straw man came out, then my impression was that it had come closer to being agreed. But I mean, obviously, the fact that you're saying this now is indicating that that may not be the case. Okay, so this is certainly something we probably need to revisit. What would be very helpful would be if on either side of the debate, whether you think it should be mandatory or you don't, possibly particularly if you don't, then it would be very useful to have text, because then we can incorporate it in future versions of the straw man. Petter, would you like to add something?
Yeah, thanks. I just want to add that I think that some of those that didn't see it desirable to be mandatory. Wasn't it also a GEC representative just more speaking from a local point of view, not from the global side?
I think one of the reasons the straw man suggested that it shouldn't be mandatory was really that it's possible to say, okay, this should not be mandatory, but we're not going to stop stakeholders from doing it. I think that was part of the reasoning. Does that answer the question? May have technical trouble there. I'm not hearing a response. Petra, would you like to say something?
No, I'm not 100% sure if it was a clear reply to my question, but I noticed your suggestion that we put together some further comments before it will be sent out.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Okay. Well, moving down, let's just have a look at number two. So now, Peter, would you like to say something or...
Yes, I just was saying that I think that the question that we have regarding the recommendation language, whether it's desirable to make it mandatory, that was part of our follow-on discussion. But I think that the question in our charter was whether it is desirable to translate contact information to a single common language or transliterate contact information into a single common script.
That's good. So actually, there perhaps we should be not only looking at recommendations, but actually at questions. I think that's a good point. Okay. Okay. I'll see if I can do something along those lines for the next meeting. Thank you. All right. Now, if we move into the second recommendation, so here we have the working group recommends that any future GTLD directory service should be capable of storing non-Roman script data and a transformed version in Roman script to accommodate the possibility of a best practice transformation service. Ooh, goodness, quite a few possible issues here. So we've certainly talked about the various aspects here, and the impression I have is that we are not agreed about it. So the reason here is that there is an argument, you know, I think there are some people who think that if I understand it correctly, that the contact information should not be transformed, because as soon as you do it, you create this other version, and you've then got all sorts of matching and validation and which one is the authoritative version and all kinds of issues like that arising. So I think there are voices on both sides really arguing both ways. There's certainly some disagreement, and we're certainly still talking about it. So that is the situation as I understand it. We also need to take up the whole thing about, you know, the necessity for a replacement of who is to have the possibility of displaying IRD. I think that may be dealt with later on. Okay. Now, if there aren't any questions about that, it means we can move further down. And that brings us to number three, which is the working group recommends that as part of the PDP, the need to add... Oh, yeah, sorry, this is the thing about IRD capability to any new GTLD directory service. Okay, so that's the bit I was just talking about, and I think a lot of our questions aren't really relevant unless that replacement system or the system has this functionality. And then we've got the thing about tag fields to indicate the languages used in the address and date fields. We'll be having a more detailed look at this later if we've got time, because, of course, the example has to show you what this actually looks like. Jim, would you like to say anything at this point?
Yes, thank you, Jim Galvin. I'm struck by the suggestion that date might be in a different language. The first version of the IRD recommendations for data had dates in a standard well-known format that was language and script independent, I suppose, is what I want to say, but I guess by all rights it represents, Romanized numerals and a couple of appropriate characters in which to separate, elements in the normal printed string. Are we really suggesting that dates might appear in different languages?
Thank you. This is quite an interesting point because there are quite a few different calendar systems kicking round. The Japanese certainly have one. I think we probably need to debate this. I guess to some extent we might be influenced by existing systems. So if existing systems are using other calendar systems, then we may have to take those into account, and especially if we're going to let legacy data into our system. However, if there is already standardization, then I'm going to do better just to knock this out, because I certainly wouldn't want to add more complexity for no good reason. I actually don't know what the situation is there. What is the status quo? But are these other date systems being used?
So this is Jim again. I guess I don't want to try to speak authoritatively about the state of the world in this space. I observe only that in prior discussions on this issue. Again, what you have is within the registration data ecosystem, if you will, you have the legacy standard of essentially the Gregorian date system,
mm-hmm. Yes.
And the UTC kind of format for time, if you will,
mm-hmm.
And that's obviously what we've been using. Does that suggest that that's what we should continue to use going forward? I don't know. I guess, as you say, maybe this is an interesting topic for debate. Again, I'll just close by saying that we had previously in the IRD working group, and in fact the path that we're headed down in the current IRD expert working group is to leave that alone and continue forward with what the legacy systems have been doing. So that's just a data point for this group. If we want to suggest something different, I don't see any conflict in that. So thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for that. I notice in the chat room Peter's agreeing with you. My instinct is that we probably should just delete this. Really the last intention would be to add any complexity if it isn't necessary. Anything else about that one, or shall we move on to the fourth one? Okay, so number four, just a moment, we have something quite long in the chat room. Desirable and undesirable to transform. I think the point is we should focus on the extent to which people will access or need access to the WHOIS data that is not recorded in their own language community. For example, how many English speakers will or need access to Chinese, Japanese, or Thai? That's an interesting point, and it's not one that is very reflected in the straw man at the moment. Okay. So number four, the working group recommends that registrants provide contact information in language script of the contact information. The group believes that this will provide data that are as accurate as possible and notes that the recommendation does not prevent registrars, registries from providing best practice transformation. Okay, I'll just explain what the record is, and then I'll just answer Jim's question just in a moment. So this is certainly something we've covered. Now, I was thinking that we were pretty agreed. Oh, yeah, actually, I was thinking that we were pretty agreed on this, that we're basically feeling that the original language is the sort of primary form, and you know, that really should be in the system. I wasn't aware of disagreement there. Under discussion, no. Obviously, we are still talking about it. Jim, would you like to add something to this?
Yes, this is Jim. I confess I'm not entirely sure what that first sentence means, that contact information in the language and script of the contact information. That's not the phrase that the internationalized registration data requirements expert working group is going to use to describe this situation.
What it's trying to say is, I admit this is a clumsy way of putting it, but the idea is that if you've got a Korean address, that your fundamental record is in the Korean Hangul script. That's the idea, but I admit that it may be possible to improve the wording.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm thinking that we're in agreement on this point, and so I'm nervous about the words here. So let me try a different phrase on you and see if we're still in agreement. What the IRD expert working group is going to say, at the moment, the path that we're headed down, I have to be careful here because even we are still in deliberations, but I would suggest that this is the consensus as I understand it today, that contact information, we need to separate out the name. A name in the contact information will be freeform text so that someone could certainly put their name in whatever language or script is appropriate for their name.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the postal contact information, so the address and, the city, country, that kind of postal information, that information should appear in a language or script appropriate for the region in which that address is located. And it should be structured in a way that's appropriate for the region in which that is located. That's, roughly speaking, that's the phrase we're going to use. We're still actually working on exactly how we're going to say that, but that's what's on the table at the moment. Now, does that match what you're suggesting this means or not?
Yes, it does, because it also covers the rather more difficult situations, for example, Singapore, where you may conceivably have several different languages which could be used to represent a particular address. In the Singaporean case, it's four languages that could come up. So that sort of wording would handle those rather more difficult situations. So I, as far as I can see, that would work.
Okay. So as long as those align, then I'm fine with this, and just reserving the observation that we may talk a little more about this once we see some actual text in the document, because I do think it's important to get this right, and it would be especially helpful if these two groups could align, even though your group is, this group actually is a PDP group and the other one is just an expert working group. Given that we have the opportunity to align here, let's try to do that, or if there's a difference of opinion, I certainly want to resolve that too before either of us publish. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I mean, as far as I can see, that would seem to make a lot of sense. Okay. Now, Petter, would you like to say something about that?
Well, thanks. First of all, Jim, you just summarized what I was going to state. Also, I think it's important. Whatever the topic is, that if you are two different groups that works with the same things, that we use the same kind of words, so it's generally understandable. And talking about understandable, sorry, Jim, I didn't really got the idea or the conclusion what you say about two different kind of addresses. One, if I understand it correctly, one was the free address that the domain holder could put out, and the other one was the official postal address. Sorry if I misunderstood you completely, but could you just clear that?
So this is Jim. I confess I'm not sure I understand the question. Wasn't tracking the bit about two postal addresses?
Yeah, the way I heard you, you first said that the domain holder was free to use the language or describe the address as they wanted to do. But then you also talked about it's important to use the local official postal address. Or did I misunderstood you?
Okay, so let me try and say this back. I think that you did understand me, and I'll try to say this again and hopefully see if we're coming to closure here. The postal address should be in a form that the principle here that's in play is that the postal address should be in a form that ensures delivery in the last mile of delivery. And it is my understanding about postal regulations is two things. One is that a country, of course, gets to decide what its postal addresses look like. This business of, you know, address, city, state, postal code kind of thing, that's a Western way of describing addresses, which works in a good portion of the world, but it's not the way it's required to be for some parts, too. That's just an observation for the moment. So it needs to be in a structure and a form that fits that. But the implication there is that the postal information needs to be in a language and script that final postal person understands. That's really technically what you're trying to get to by using the phrase that I had suggested. So if Singapore, you know, allows English as well as other languages, and as long as all the postal people can, you know, can read that and understand it, then that becomes valid. So one other tidbit to add to this, then, the consequence, if you will, of this is that in some way there needs to be a mechanism that needs to come into place that ensures that when you take in an address and you see what country that address represents, you have to somehow know what languages and scripts are valid in that country and confirm that that's what you're getting in from the registrant. That'll be an observation from this expert working group. It'll be, you know, it's just an observation that's something that will have to exist in order for the rest of this to work. But let me pause there for a moment.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. I mean, eventually, this is really I agree strongly with this. If the postman is using something in the form where substantial numbers of things are going missing, then this is totally self-defeating. So I'm sure this is the right way to go. Okay, moving on to other recommendations, we have check that we've finished that one. And actually, before I go, I'm just keeping an eye on the chat room here. Okay, so let's have a look at number 5. So that one is saying the working group recommends that there is no need to determine who bears the costs. As no mandatory transformation is recommended, I'll just go through the implications of this. So if number 1 means that the transformation is not mandatory, then we've covered it. In fact, this is probably wrong, because this is very much depending on on number 1. So if there is a question about it being mandatory, then I think this question is very much depending on number 1. That's really what it comes to. So this will almost certainly need to be redone. I mean, certainly, the fact that, if we decide it isn't mandatory, then, it's just a slight advantage that it gets us out of answering some questions. I suppose that is a slight advantage. Okay. So we're almost certainly going to have to come back to that one. That's really what I mean. And then number 6, unless there are any comments about that, the working group recommends that IRD becomes the basic requirement. Oh, yes, sorry, we've already covered this. So I think we can leave that one. I'll just ask whether anybody would like to say anything about it before we move on. And then last but not least, the working group recommends that there should be no requirement for registers or registry operators to support English. Okay, so again, as far as I know, we've certainly covered it. I think we are agreed. I don't think there's disagreement, and we're not particularly talking about it. That's what we're saying, at least. Jim, would you like to say something about that?
Yes, thank you. This is Jim. Just a question. Do we mean to say English here, or do we mean to say a single language in script?
In the straw man, it's saying effectively there is this United Nations recommendation for if there is going to be a single language, it should be English. If there is going to be a single script, it should be the Roman alphabet. It's sort of based on that. Now, in our case, the interesting thing is that what we are recommending, we end up with English in a maximum of 2 fields, and one of them is the country name. So the suggestion is that the country name would be English, but that's actually a relatively short list that could be translated into other languages very easily. And then the other field where you might get English is in the organizational name field, because we are saying if there is an English official translation, then use it. But You know, you could almost argue that really there's only English in one field. That's the organizational name, and then only when it exists. Fundamentally, most of the record is transliterated. But we can see more of this in a moment when we look at the example. Does that catch it?
Yeah, thank you. I guess I'm not certain about this recommendation. I mean, the way that I'm expecting this to be characterized in the IRD expert working group is not that country name is in English per se, but that the script will be Latin, and this is derived from postal regulation that simply require that the country name has to be in a standard form. It's not really a language per se, because you can create a flat list of these things, and it's an identifier more than it's a language recommendation. So I'm kind of taking that out of this category of supporting English, because you're supporting an identifier.
Okay, that's also an interesting approach, because is that basically using the UPU guidelines at that point?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. And then when you talk about name, requirement that we have in the IRD discussions in our draft document is that the name that's used should be, wait a minute, now we're talking about two different things here. This is the general organization name that mm-hmm. might appear in any registrant's contact information.
Yeah.
Well, the path I was going down was when talking about the registrar, and I was confusing it with this other thing. I mean, obviously with a registrar, you can have a requirement that says that you use whatever name you've used in your RAA. So whatever is valid there goes there. That rule doesn't apply here. The path that we're going down is the same as name in general, and that the name can be free-form text. Because an organization name, like a person's name, in this particular technical context, it is whatever it is, and you shouldn't obligate it to have to be anything in particular, because that may not be appropriate.
Okay.
So, again, I mean, this thing about whether English is the right thing to say here, I'm wondering if part of I thought our charter question was whether or not there should be a single language. I realize that as part of our discussions, the obvious choice for if there was going to be a single language would be English.
Yeah.
I mean, for legacy reasons, if nothing else. But that's why I'm questioning whether English is the right thing to say here, or if you want to more generally speak to the issue of, you know, single language or script. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, it does. Again, it sounds here as if there may be more than one way to go, because actually, as regards personal names, that is what we're doing. So, the personal name, we are just saying, you need to tell us what your name is, and, we're really not stipulating, just because it appears in a particular place, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's your name. And I think last time I was giving myself as an example, because my name comes up in all sorts of different forms, but eventually. And certainly in a library context, that would be the approach taken, that eventually in a library, if somebody does write five books with five different names, then actually you do have to write a letter to the person. That's the official correct thing to do. That does seem as if there may be more than one way to go there. And I will draft some text surrounding some of these areas where perhaps it is more complicated than this makes it appear. Obviously, I'm always very grateful for other people's text. Yes, because I think often the people understand particular areas better, frankly. So that sort of thing is appreciated. Okay, well, we've got through the recommendations, and certainly enough material there for another version of them. And what I would now like to do, I think we're going to have time for it, is just to come back and have a look at the example. Okay, so you might notice that when I give examples, they tend to be Japanese, and the reason for that is that I used to work in an information service, and one of the main things we did was give people Japanese addresses. So I have the experience of dealing with probably thousands of Japanese addresses, and so I like to use Japanese examples because I guess I'm just really familiar with them. I mean, the slight danger is that there could be addresses in other languages which have issues that the Japanese addresses don't have. I guess it may not be a surprise to see this thing in Japanese here. And so we're really at the bottom of page 6. And so we've got... So if we're looking at our primary record, we've got a status, which is Kensho Zumi, which is Japanese for validated. I'm not totally sure that they'd use it in this context, to be honest, but for the, let's presume that whatever it is they use for validated, but that's what we'd see there. We then have a language tag, JA, that's another thing that comes out of the library. Ho. And then in the next field, here we have a Gregorian date. Now, it is in the Gregorian calendar, but as you can see, there are Chinese characters in there for the name, the month, and the day. And also the order is rather strange because you've got the year coming first. So generally, large things come before small things in Japanese. And then we have the name holder, and this is Okazaki Taro. Okazaki is the surname, and Taro is his first name, and as you can see, there is no space. It's just all there together like a normal Japanese name. We've got another flag saying it's Japanese. We've then got the organization, which is the Japanese name of a sort of institute. Again, no spaces. So, and again, flagged as Japanese. Then we have the postal address, which has the country at the beginning. It's then got a thing which you probably wouldn't bother to transliterate because all it means is what's coming next is the postcode. And then you've got the address. Well, then you've got the postcode. Then you've got the address. Tokyo to Chiyodaku. So again, we're going from big, the Tokyo metropolis, literally, then down to Chiyodaku, which is one of the wards in Tokyo. And then we've got a part of Tokyo, Hitotsubashi, and then we've got the number right at the end, and the number actually breaks down into various blocks and buildings. And then we've got another flag saying this is all in Japanese. We've then got an internationalized email address. I thought you'd like that. Okazaki.taro@google.nihon. And again, this is in Japanese. That then, all of it gets transformed by anybody who wants to, any stakeholders who want to transform. Then the suggestion is that that this is how it be transformed. And so here we've got validated, obviously English. We've got the date, Then we've got the guy's name. Now, I threw a little bit of entertainment in here for us because I thought, you know, obviously he may be wandering around calling himself Taro Okazaki, but, you know, life being life, the more likely is that he decides that nobody really knows what to do with Taro, so instead he's going to use Ted. So this is the sort of free-form text idea, basically. You know, people do just suddenly decide to do something like that, and you only know that they've done it when you ask them. Now, this particular organization, we're lucky because it does have an official English translation. It's the National National Institute for Informatics. Also, it's a real organization. The guy isn't a real guy, don't worry. It's a real organization. It's very frequently called the NII, but we've said in a note that we don't like acronyms, so actually for things like this it has to be the National Institute for Informatics. Now, in the event that it didn't have an English name, you would have ended up, and I've put in one of the notes, that you would have ended up with Kokuritsu Jōhō Gaku Kenkyūjō. And I have been slightly, it's note 7, I've been slightly naughty here because I realized looking at this that in fact there would be no way for something transliterating that address to know where the spaces are, because as you can see in the original there are no spaces. So actually, really, that should all be together. Unless, well, no, actually, I can't think of a way around it, so that might be an issue. Then we have the postal address, which is basically more or less the Japanese address, but backwards. That's the sort of fundamental rule that's going on here. Now, you may notice that suddenly we've got spaces, which are obviously very helpful because we can see, you know, which bits of the address are doing what with the spaces. So actually, this bit has been simplified. The postal address would probably be in several fields, and what I'm really saying here is that we believe it would be possible to display that data in a way that it will make sense. You know, it may be that we need to go into more detail, but I think by sticking the data in different fields, you could legitimately produce those spaces correctly. That may be something we want to pick up. And we then end up with the internationalized email address, which of course is still in Japanese. Oh, before we go to the email address, just make one comment about the postal address and say that there is a bit of an argument about whether that address is English or Japanese. Although it's in Romanization, I think some people would say actually, although it's in the Roman alphabet, it's really Japanese language. So I wasn't totally sure that it was right to write EM there. Okay, now, looking at that, any comments, I wonder? All right, well, I really didn't give you very much time to look at this, and I would really welcome other comments on the list, either about the recommendations or about the example. Before the next meeting, I will produce another... I will at least do, in fact, I think it will need to be another version because I think the recommendations are rather more complicated. But don't let that stop you from commenting, you know, if there are things that you're spotting and that we didn't have time to cover because we haven't covered all of the document today, then do send that stuff to the list because it just makes things easier. Okay, any other business, I think? Because we really haven't time to go through the other changes I made, I think. Okay. Hearing none, I will get a new version to you by the next meeting, which is a week from today. I hope I'll be able to get it to you, giving you a bit more time to look at it. But as I say, I'm just grateful for comments on any of the issues we've spoken about today or others, either on this version or the next one. Okay, well, in that case, thank you very much for a good meeting, and we'll meet again 1 week from today. Very much.
Thank you, once again.
Thank you. Bye.
Please disconnect all remaining lines at this time. Have a wonderful day.